It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Tua takes a snap, pulls it back out, throws it, touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill.
Boy, the Tua fake, Jimmy, was fantastic. Looked like he handed the ball off only to pull it back, and Tyreek Hill was wide open, just sliding outside.
Thank you, Dolphins Radio Network. Bigger takeaway last night, the Dolphins winning, the Rams losing. It was a stunning loss, I would say, by the Rams, first and foremost. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Credit to the Dolphins defense, who showed up big time last night. The Rams offense got two offensive linemen back healthy, and yep. I question whether those two gentlemen have blocked in an NFL game before because they look totally lost.
Well, they're supposed to be really good, and also you had Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp on the field, and you had your running backs. You had Stafford looking healthy, and as Troy Aikman said, guy is not age a second. He's still really good. I have no idea what happened because this was a crucial game for the Rams, a home game. I know it's not a normal home field advantage, and the Dolphins still... don't seem full strength to me. Tyreek Hill was a shadow of himself last night. And the game was, I know it was a close final score. It really felt like the Rams were never in it.
Nope. Their offense, it was such a slog for them to move the ball. The amount of 45-plus and 50-plus yard field goals that they were relying on from their rookie kicker, just not something you're expecting with a Stafford McVay offense. You're right, with everyone healthy. You could have fooled me the Cooper Kupp was on the field. I feel like he did nothing.
Well, you know, when he did make a play, he looked awesome. Like when he ran a route, like he's impossible to cover. But for some reason, that just wasn't working. And Nacua, too. Like they look fine. There was just negative play after negative play. And the Dolphins had no pass rush coming in this game. They were 31st in the league in sacks. And all of a sudden, they looked like the fearsome foursome.
They were getting to Stafford four different times. Big plays in the fourth quarter, knocking the Rams out of field goal range. I mean, everything the bad teams do, the Rams were doing last night. And the Dolphins' defense looked like they had just gotten a shot in the arm. And by the way, they lost guys during the game.
Yeah.
Really important players on the defense were going out of the game with injury, and they still looked good.
And can I just say,
that's crazy.
They weren't great on offense either. It looked like every time Tua dropped back, I'm like, well, is this going to be a career-ending injury, a turnover, or a 17-yard gain where he threads a needle on some pass? Like that, it wasn't exactly easy for them to move the ball either. They had, and how many dropped interceptions do the Rams have?
Yep.
It was overall one of the more poorly played games I've seen this season, but big win.
Good for you. Here's Tua. Proud of the team's resilience. Hopes they can make a late playoff push.
The resilience of this team with the external noise, everyone counting us out. You know, hopefully this is an opportunity for us to not waste. You know, hopefully we can go on a run with this win and find our rhythm towards the back end of the season now.
Yeah. Okay. So that sounds kind of crazy. Like on the surface, they're 3-6. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But if their defense is going to play like this, and maybe it was overinflated because the Rams offense was so bad, out of chicken and the egg type thing there. But it's not like the bottom of the AFC in terms of the playoff picture is this gangbusters, you know, who's who murderer's row. I think the Chargers are actually a good team. I don't know, though, about the Bengals this year. This could just be one of those bad years for the Bengals. Clearly, they have a great quarterback. They've got a great receiver. They've been off all year. Are the Indianapolis Colts scaring you right now? I think the resounding answer is absolutely not. Do you trust the Broncos with a rookie quarterback? Now, they should have won that game in Kansas City, but shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know, the Jets, the Patriots. Like, it's not like these teams that are coming for them. Like, why wouldn't the Dolphins think they're in the mix when they also have some, on paper, easy wins coming their way? Raiders, Patriots, Packers going to be a little tough. Jets is probably going to be a good game. You know, there's wins on this schedule.
Yeah.
If I'm the Dolphins, why not?
Yeah, but even if you get it, what is the point? Again, like this, they haven't won a playoff game since, I think, 2000. They haven't gotten to the AFC title game since 90. this is a franchise that is stuck in the middle. And even so, like you're talking about this gigantic payroll and aspiring to get into the playoffs at 9-8. I don't even know what the, I honestly, and I said this before, I thought they should have just had a full garage sale at the break. Why are they, where's Tyreek Hill going? He's 30. They should have traded him for a first round pick. They could have got a ton for Tyreek Hill. He's not Devontae Adams. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. He's more well thought of than that. I just don't understand. Like, this is what you're talking about with Miami. What's the future of this team? And again, last night, Tua's future. Dude, out of interception, sticks his head into a tackler.
I know.
I don't see even your optimism. Like, I don't get it. Like, what is the point of this franchise?
Well, okay. The problem with those big existential questions on a morning like today with the Dolphins mm-hmm. is because you've already committed to Tua.
So I know. You're right.
Like, you've already made the big money commitment. And so now I think you're trying to, keep Tyreek Hill. You're trying to squeeze everything out of this Tua contract. While you can, because, you could tear it all down. You could tank. For who? You're not getting Cam Ward. And even if you do, that doesn't make any sense. Because Tua trading him? That seems crazy. You literally just gave him all this money.
Well, okay. Even last night with the win, I don't see something special happening in this.
Chop Robinson is good. Maybe they draft and there could be some pieces to build around.
Well, Jalen Ramsey's 30. He's great, but he's 30.
Yeah.
And that's very old for a cornerback. Tyreek Hill is 30. That's very old for a wide receiver. I'm not in love with Jalen Waddle.
He had some drops last night. It was weird.
And also, he's not as explosive when he gets the ball as Tyreek Hill. They don't want to run the ball, so Achane is whatever. And I just think that if you look at a lot of old pieces around there, and Chop Robinson, they've been drafting a lot of guys. Like, I don't see their defense being a difference maker in the Tua regime. They went from 6 to 10 in the draft last night. They were 6. Like, I'll tell you a name. Travis Hunter fills in all, like, I keep putting Travis Hunter.
Put him everywhere.
Every thin team, I'm like, give him Travis Hunter. I don't know. I just feel like this is once again, like, they're aspiring to be in the middle. And last night's win, does it really help them? Yeah, maybe they have a shot to sneak in the playoffs and lose to somebody in the first round. But I can't get excited. Because I really wasn't blown away by them last night at all.
You were not impressed by the defense at all?
No, I don't care about the defense. They came out and they just threw the ball like crazy. And every play was like, hold your breath. What's going to happen here?
Okay, but the defense, I mean, it's rare that the Rams or Matthew Stafford and a Sean McVay offense do not score a touchdown.
But I don't look at this Dolphin and say, wow, this is a team that's defense is going to be dangerous in the playoffs. I never even thought about their defense until last night.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
maybe they turned a corner.
I thought like the offense just felt very precarious to me. Like, they were relying a lot on Tua, and Tua was trying to make a lot of plays with his feet. And you know what happens when that happens? He was extending plays. I'm like, he's got to get rid of it immediately. Yeah. He's good at that. But last night he held onto it and took some massive sacks. Like, they just feel like they're really at the margin on that team.
855-212-4227. I guess maybe both of these teams just combined for kind of it was a close game. So if you're into that kind of thing, it had some drama at the end because the Rams kept closing the gap to eight with these field goals, but they could ultimately never get a touchdown to even attempt a 2-point conversion to really try to make this thing that exciting. But if the defense could play like that, they are going to win. They're going to win their fair share of games. I do believe that. I just don't know if I was watching a mirage or if I watched a Rams team that just no-showed on offense last night.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to see? How about what happened to that team that from a couple years ago where they would start out that beat Denver 70-20 and had so many offensive weapons just you couldn't even figure out what to do with them? Does that team exist anymore?
I'll answer.
No,
no, it
of
does
course not.
Not.
Somehow that all slowed down. So again, you're right; they could sneak into a wild card. But we're talking about, we have two star quarterbacks in that game, and one team is 4-5, the Rams, and the other is 3-6. Like, forgive me if I'm not blown away by that.
All right, you're forgiven. The other part of this, too, is do the Rams still have a shot here at the playoffs? And I'll, again, point to the bottom of the NFC in terms of wild card. You know, it's the NFC has some good teams at the top, you know. The Detroit Lions, I think, are a good team. I still think that your Philadelphia Eagles, despite what you think, actually are a good team.
They're
I think
good.
Green Bay is good. We think San Francisco could be dangerous. But how sold are you on the Bears? How sold are you on the Arizona Cardinals being for real? You know,
I mean, the Cardinals are 6-4. I think the Cardinals look like they have a better angle than the Rams. I mean, you say that, like, so one of the NFC East will get two teams in. So it's going to be Washington and Philly, most likely.
Yeah. Then unless Washington, by the way, have you seen Jaden Daniels, pardon me, not rushing the ball anymore. Ribs are hurt. Could we be looking at a Cliff Kingsbury second half swoon? I love the Commanders. They're super fun, but I got my eye on the Commanders.
You think the Rams, I have trouble thinking that the Rams are going to catch them because they're still in the NFC East. They'll get some easy wins. Then you got all those NFC North teams. So you got the Packers and the Vikings to deal with, and the Vikings schedule is insanely easy.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that quality of team-wise are not there. And it just seems like in the NFC West, anything can happen on any given Sunday, and those teams are going to beat each other up. So they're all pretty good. I think it's going to be really tough for the Rams. It's funny, I looked at the odds this morning, and the Dolphins actually have slightly better odds than the Rams to make the playoffs. And neither odds are good.
Sure.
But the Rams are, the Rams are heavily favored to not make the playoffs, even at 4-5. And last night was a big game for them. That's the takeaway.
It was like disappointing the Rams, for the Rams, without a doubt.
Rams really kind of blew it last night at home.
Also, what does Vegas know? How do they always know? Because we sat here and, I bet the Rams and laid the one, but that's not even about that because, that's fine. How?
But the money did pour in on the Rams.
But Vegas had it right the first time, even though the Rams were getting tackles back healthy. Sealer?
I think it was.
From the Dolphins? Is this guy J.J. Watt? And he and Calais Campbell together were so disruptive at the line last night. He came back, he had a broken orbital bone.
Feels like maybe an urgency factor for the Dolphins. They needed this one. Like, the season's over if they don't win this game. So maybe it does feel like we've been in a lot of positions where this season where the more urgent team has won. Because there's just so much parity in the NFL. Like, teams are really, really close. These teams are really close. They probably played 10 times in 5-5. So I think urgency might be the key factor that Vegas saw.
I know, but the thing about that is, isn't that what the coaching is for? Isn't that, where the edge? I'm not saying about being a motivator, but I'm talking about in the game. Like, yeah, the Dolphins had a lot of urgency. They came out with a great script. They scored in 3 minutes. It looked awesome on their opening drive. But isn't that the McVay genius stuff?
Yeah, but he doesn't really have the team to overwhelm you. I mean, they're about a 500 team.
Okay, but everyone was healthy last night. They had won 3 in a row. We're talking about Jared Verse. We're talking about Braden Fisk. We're talking about this. Rams could win the division.
We
talked about that. Definitely.
I don't know. I've always sensed a sense of caution with the Rams this year.
Yeah, Puka, Nacua back, Cooper Kupp's back. Kyren Williams all of a sudden was not effective last night.
Somebody seems to be not there. I can't put my finger on what's missing.
Well, Aaron Donald was in the crowd.
You can't lose Aaron Donald and not expect to drop off a little bit.
I mean, the Dolphins only scored 23 points.
Yeah,
it's not like they,
But if Aaron Donald was on, you talked about motivation and all that. Like, if Aaron Donald's on your team, you're giving 100% every game because you have the best player in the last 20 years on defense right there. So anyway, I do think that they're kind of young, too. Like, look around their roster. They have a lot of young guys. I think they're about a 500 team.
Who was that?
Aaron Donald.
So can I also do one small beef that I've seen across the NFL? This one's actually bothered me for quite some time. Has nothing to do with the outcome of the game, but will you allow me for a second? I don't understand why guys do touchdown celebrations that may cause an injury.
Oh, the falling on their back thing?
Yeah, so here's Tyreek Hill talking about Odell Beckham, who came up with a big third down catch for the Dolphins last night, keeping a drive alive in a very key spot, and how he hurt his back on the touchdown celebration, which I don't even know what they were doing.
First touchdown since opening game. How did it feel to get back in the end zone?
It felt good until Odell slammed my back out, man. That kind of hurt me. So I'll probably miss Wednesday practice with that one.
Right. So I'm sorry. Tyreek Hill's back got all injured out of that. Now he's going to have to miss practice. Was it some kind of Bash Brothers? And that was NFL Network, by the way. A Bash Brother? I didn't know. I didn't get the reference. And meanwhile,
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Now Tyreek Hill, who already has a ligament that's torn in his wrist that apparently was made worse by the detainment from a couple weeks ago. Now more than a month ago. I'm sorry.
And also during that detainment, he said he was coming off knee surgery too.
Right, which we all found out.
And by the way, that was a charity touchdown for Tyreek Hill. They had first and goal at the inch yard line. They could have just run it in, but I think Tyreek Hill hasn't scored a touchdown in forever. So they kind of gave him a touchdown. I don't think they expect him to get hurt on the celebration. So
I'm reading this now. It looks like maybe they were doing a fake wrestling match, it looks like.
Oh, that's safe.
Awesome. I got the wrong player. I got the wrong player, but I tweeted, imagine OBJ's back tightening up on that celebration. It's not a wrestling ring, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I got the wrong player, but...
It's worse that it's Tyreek. James Cook did this the other day where he goes into the end zone and does this forward flip. Like, why?
I forgot Odell was on the team until the celebration happened.
Totally.
Oh, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, actually, I saw he's mostly a cheerleader. He's right there to high-five every receiver after...
Which, I'll be honest, considering what we think of him and sometimes him having a huge ego, I do like that. Like, I agree.
We barely noticed him.
Yeah, right. And I do like that. Like, when I saw him, he was, like, bigging up all the other receivers, which I was like, okay, he's grown into that, you know, like, Vince Carter at the end of his career role. I appreciate that. I never would have thought that would be Odell Beckham, though.
No, he does not have that reputation.
No.
Of being a team-first guy.
And who is Malik Washington? That was they have all these superstars, and then Washington made two gigantic plays. I really don't know much about it. I guess he was a sixth-round pick out of UVA, another weapon for them. I can't get excited about the Dolphins. I appreciate your bottom of the AFC playoff standings. Like, there's definitely stars there. I get it. But where is this team going? Like, what's their big goal here? Like, do you ever see a Super Bowl in Tua's future?
That's impossible for me to say yes today.
Yeah,
that's an impossible.
Yeah,
answer.
No, I'm being such a Debbie Downer after a huge win that kept their season alive last night. But even that, I'm like, I watched them last night. First of all, hand the ball off to protect Tua just once, just to keep the defense. Like they said, we're desperate. We're going to throw the ball on every down, and it was an adventure. I really just don't feel like they're going to be able to keep him healthy.
855-212-4227. So that was a little of what happened last night. Who'd you feel like you learned more about, if anyone, Miami or the Rams?
Well, we learned that Odell Beckham Jr. was on the Dolphins.
That's work number here is one. Done.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's enjoying Miami, although that's also been on the low. We haven't heard much.
Clip number one of three things we learned today on Miami.
I mean, he easily could have shown up in a Rams jersey last night, and America would have been wiser.
Give him his old jersey back.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think most people knew which team. If you came into last night, the average viewer, did they know if OBJ was on the Rams or the Dolphins? Betcha was about. That's a coin toss. I have no idea.
So you're welcome to weigh in on last night if you've got thoughts on that and who it means more for, and are the Dolphins a playoff team? You know, sneak in. Playoff team. Okay. We've got to get to it. Once again, more drama, self-inflicted. What other kind is there? With the Dallas Cowboys. And it's Micah Parsons, it's Mike McCarthy, and it's a podcast. I mean, I can hear your groans, America.
Yeah.
But you're going to want to hear the sound. Maggie and Perloff, don't move.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. So... We're breaking down the Dolphins' big win over the Rams. How are things going in Dallas, Maggie?
Smashingly. I'm so glad you asked.
Yes, like, I haven't heard much from Big D lately.
Yeah, well, wait 5 seconds, because we've got something for you. And of course, it's more drama. It's got nothing to do with football, because that's how the Cowboys roll. And that's honestly the only thing that they have left for this season. Dak Prescott.
Drama?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dak Prescott's gone for the year. They got smoked by the Philadelphia Eagles at home. They kicked two field goals in that game, and Micah Parsons was back. Now, there's been drama with Micah Parsons and Mike McCarthy, so the easiest way we can set this up for you is going back to Sunday. The post-game comments that Micah Parsons made about Mike McCarthy when he was asked about McCarthy's like job status as a lame duck coach, here's what Micah said on Sunday.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but the guys I kind of feel bad for is guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
Okay. Perloff, I think that there's part of this that we totally understand, which is a player feeling like they want to make an impact for another player more than a coach. To me, that's not a crime. I actually understand where he's coming from about Zach Martin and wanting to play hard for a veteran like that.
Right, right, right. And I think even that comment, like Zach Martin talked about retirement in the summer, you get the sense that this is it for Zach Martin. And then once he's done playing, there's no coming back. So there is that logic there.
Totally. the part where Micah Parsons made a mistake, and he did make a mistake. If he was not trying to make a headline or imply anything about his head coach, you can't make a comparison here that guys like Zach Martin have given more have put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. Yes, yeah. Zach Martin's been there longer. Of course he has. But you can't imply that the players are putting in more effort and more work than the coaches, because that is throwing a coach under the bus when you make that comparison.
Yeah,
is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And the reality is, I mean, Mike McCarthy came up under Mike Holmgren. Like, he probably put in more hours than any human being on the planet. It's not like Mike McCarthy has been on easy street to get here. So, and he was a player, too. Like, I'm not sure what he was saying there.
So now Micah Parsons, who gets caught in this, not caught, he said it. Micah Parsons, who has his own podcast, okay? So Parsons, very comfortable talking to microphones. This is not pulling teeth. He went on his podcast yesterday to set the record straight for what he was trying to say.
Question that was asked was about here in the Dallas Cowboys, did I see Mike McCarthy in our future? And I said, that's above my pay grade. So never once did I ever intended or wanted to reflect on Mike McCarthy's career, because I always knew it was a good one. I've always had a great relationship with Mike McCarthy, and I never even put that in question.
Well, yeah, if you had ended the quote with "that's above my pay grade," then sure, none of this would be a problem. But you went on to say that he implied that he didn't put as much time and effort in as the coaches. Here's more on Parsons now blaming the media, of which he is now a member.
Whoa, I disagree with you. He's not a journalist,
but what is podcasting? Is that not media?
I think it's a big difference, a 25-year-old player who's a podcaster and being what the media does. I think it's a different thing. But you know what I mean. Like, I'm not saying like he didn't go to, like, I don't think anyone's a journalist anymore, but generally, like, yeah, I just think it's different. Like, even if he's doing a podcast, he's not a media member in the sense that, like, he's just talking off the top of his head.
So here is Parsons saying the media is manipulating his words about Mike McCarthy.
We all have to see through the BS of what these TV analysts are trying to do and, you know, provide us and basically take words. I never once threw or even intended to throw Mike McCarthy under the bus. Like I said, he's one of the most winningest coach. He is a Super Bowl champ. I never once brung up his past.
No one is saying, well, I mean, you kind of are bringing up not his past, like in Green Bay or something like that, but if you're saying that a player put in more time and more work than Mike McCarthy ever did, which is exactly what he said, then you can't be that shocked by the response. And I don't think he said this and is doing like the, oh, not me, like, don't, you know, I'm my words are being twisted because he's just trying to get more headlines. I actually think he feels this way, which shows a real delusion here about what he actually said and how it could be perceived.
Yeah, I'm not with you on this. Okay. I think Micah is right, because basically the tone of what he was saying, like, you could tell when he was talking that first time, like, he did not mean to shred Mike McCarthy. Just like, basically, if you put the whole package together, he's always, you know, he talks a lot, so he's a little bit loose with his words, and maybe there is some meaning behind there. But I turned on ESPN yesterday and I saw Damian Woody and Rex Ryan acting as if this man had just said Mike McCarthy and his children are evil or something. Like, they blew it totally out of proportion in my mind.
Herm Edwards also had some strong things. He said, this really strikes a nerve with me as a coach because I didn't see my kids for 3 days during the week. You know, after a game, I don't see my kids until Wednesday. And I think the idea that a coach isn't working hard, I think, really rubs coaches the wrong way. And that is what the implication was.
I feel like there was some ESPN producer who says, whatever you're about to say about Micah Parsons, dialed up to 40. And that's how I see these shows. I'm sorry. Like, that's just how it works. I've been in these shows. Like, you can't just say, like, well, this was a young kid. He probably shouldn't have said that. And everything has to be this crime against humanity. But, like, I think we're taking... Because we heard the original Micah Parsons quote. Did he misspeak? Yes. Was it some egregious commentary on Mike McCarthy? I didn't walk away from that saying he's burying his coach. I just thought he got a little loose. And I do think that, like, yeah, I think there's motivation for some of those talking heads at ESPN to really make it more dramatic than it is. And I think that's what Mike is reacting to.
I think on this one, Parsons made his own bed. Now he's got to lie in it. I think when you use that kind of words where you're like, he's done more than this guy ever did. I think it implies there's something there, and nothing happens in a vacuum. It's Mike McCarthy in the last year of his deal. They have not given him an extension, so he's a lame duck coach. The season has completely gone off the rails. And, you know, I think there's a lot of questions swirling around, and this was not like a endorsement of him.
No,
you know,
no.
This was an endorsement of the veterans on the team and really showed nothing about Mike McCarthy. There's another clip, which is the one where he says Mike Zimmer's name wrong. I mean, this is one I'll forgive because people misspeak all the time, but here's Micah Parsons and his defensive coordinator is Mike Zimmer, but he calls him something else.
And for a guy like Rex Ryan, I just know he wanted to coach the Cowboys. Like, I'm perfectly happy that we have Zimmerman, because if we have a guy that's willing to go on TV and provide this type of nonsense, imagine what he could do to a locker room. Like, that's just honestly just outrageous to me.
First of all, implying that Rex Ryan is on TV calling out Micah Parsons or calling out the Cowboys because he is salty because he didn't get hired by the Cowboys. Okay. But then also saying it's Mike Zimmerman.
Yeah.
His own defensive coordinator. Listen, people misspeak all the time. That yeah. I'm not gonna. That's just more funny than.
I'm sorry.
Anything.
I'm seething right now.
Yeah.
Because
it's letting Micah Parsons off the hook. Pearl.
Yes, and Pearl, this guy is a president at Bleacher Report. Okay, to say he's not a media member at this point is just not.
I forgot about that.
I know maybe we don't take him seriously, and perhaps we shouldn't because
he wants
to speak for a living, and then he can't get his words out. But you can't talk about wanting to be a member of the media, being a president at a major media company, and then when the words that you said are being talked about just purely out of what you said, and people are giving their opinions about it, it's you're twisting my words, people are trying to manipulate me, they're using my name, image, and likeness. Let's be real, Pearl, the guy's a clown.
But yeah. I think it's He's silly. You actually, clown. You're sitting here in all seriousness, and you're not even kidding, calling him the president of Bleacher Report. Like, that's an absolute joke. I'm like, oh man, the president of Bleacher Report just had a sick tackle. Like, come on, that's an honorary, bizarre position that, if anything, reflects poorly on Bleacher Report. He is not a media member like we are. Micah Parsons is not like us.
That maybe that's Kendrick's new song. No. So he's let's get it right, because his name, image, and likeness is being skewed, which is so funny. He's the president of BR Gridiron. I don't know. That's right, some kind of subsidiary. Yeah. No, EJ's right, Pearl. If you're letting him off the hook, and now he's upset that he's getting called out on.
Okay, but that means that you guys are basically saying Rex Ryan is like the voice of reason here.
No,
well, not saying that.
No, and my thing is, though, I don't really care so much about what Rex or Damian Woody had to say. My thing is, this guy is supposed to be a leader of a team that's sinking, that is absolutely plummeting. And with any leader of any football team, we give them some accountability to say, hey, like, you have important words. Your words are important. You don't want to say anything that's going to make this worse. And he said something that made this worse. Whether GetUp did this or not, this quote was going to get out and people were going to say something about it. They were saying about, I saw it last night. I saw it before Bleacher Report even came out, the Sunday night before the shows all started. So this was going to get out regardless. And instead of taking any accountability and saying, hey, you know what? I misspoke. I meant to talk about Zach Martin.
Yeah.
Like, I love Mike McCarthy. No, it has to be always this, they're out to get me. It's my name, image, and like. It's always the most bombastic stuff. Like, these athletes are so annoying with this.
You guys,
take some damn accountability for once in a while.
Athletes would hear you say that, be like, all right, let's shut it down. Like, why are we even talking to me? You're going to pick apart every word we say. None of them except for Micah, want to go up to that podium. They are forced to do that. Like, when Belichick gets there next year, he's probably going to tell Micah to stop talking. But generally, like, I understand, like, let's judge him on his actions, not these words in the press conference. He's just playing a football game, and he's out there trying to put together some kind of meaningful quote because he's super fun at quotes. I think you guys are being way too harsh on him.
Listen, the post game, you want to give maybe a little bit of grace when you're right in the heat of the battle But let's be honest, this game was over at halftime. So he had plenty of opportunities to get his thoughts collected. It's not like they lost on a Hail Mary or some kind of game-winning field goal where you're still in the heat of the battle. That game was irrelevant for a full hour and a half before the media ever got to talk to Micah Parsons. This was not the heat of battle. Things had cooled off.
If you want to talk
about
actions, let's talk about the actions, right? This guy's been gone for a month.
He had a high ankle sprain.
Right, yeah, he's been gone for a month. He comes back. His team was terrible before while he was playing. He comes back, and they get smoked at home.
Yeah,
so he wants to really talk about, I want to really give it out there for Mike, Zach Martin, and the guys are giving it all. Why? Oh, how come you guys look so terrible every week?
Well, I got to tell you, I was watching that game closely. Like, he was still running around. Like, he was chasing Jalen Hurts through that whole game. He did not give up on effort. I'll take Micah Parsons in 2 seconds on my team.
Well, and, of course.
Well, yeah, but you just said he's a clown.
Well,
he is a clown.
So does that mean you want a clown on your team?
Here's what I'll say, and I said this to you last night. Micah Parsons seems like the kind of guy where if you're on a bad team, I would never want this guy in my locker room because he's not going to make anything better. Similar to Sauce Gardner in New York. These are talented players that don't know how to turn the water off or rather turn down the fire when things are bad. When things are good and they're winning, they're front runners, they play great, and they're saying all the funny quotes, and they're a fun time. When things are tough, you got to pull yourself out of the mud. These guys are not foxhole guys because what they're going to do is they're going to start pointing fingers. They're going to start blaming the media, and they're going to create distractions. I would never want to sign
them both up in Philly. I care less.
Most importantly, where does Andrew Bogish land on this? Because he's been waiting patiently from the Long Island studios today to bring us headlines. Team Micah, Team Perloff? No, Team Micah, Team Media.
Get your damn act together.
Don't put me on the spot to actually align myself once again with Perloff. What is happening now? What world do we live in?
You guys are coming together.
Who doesn't want to hang out with me, and I keep standing right next to him. I mean, the back half of what Micah said, you know, more work than Mike McCarthy, that's the bad part. But I'll also, I guess the biggest fight I want to join here is he's not a media member. I mean, I'm still laughing at president of BR Gridiron.
That is funny.
I mean, I'm sure he does some emails or responds to some conference calls or whatever. But
I bet he does none of that.
Let's give ourselves a little more credit that there's a level of professionalism that we do our jobs with, let alone the guys covering, the women and men covering the Cowboys in their locker room every single day. He's not us.
You suck, Bogus.
It's still what?
You suck, Bogus.
No, I'm with you on
that. No, that was a drop. Manny dropped that. But no, right now there's some guy in a room texting Micah Parsons, hey, do you think we should go with a dolphin story to lead the ARAC? Like, he is micromanaging that website right now.
We need some power rankings, and we need them yesterday.
I'm having trouble with this headline. We need some power rankings, and we need them yesterday. Mike is like, all right, we're going to schedule the mock drafts for this date and this date and this date.
Who's on our World Cup coverage? Oh, I'm sorry. It's BR Gridiron. He's not responsible for that. What other headlines are going on? You're welcome to weigh in on Michael Parsons, by the way. 855-212-4227.
The player, not the media member.
Don't limit people.
There's two different people we're talking about.
The executive or the linebacker?
I mean, if he's a media member, he's Travis Hunter doing two sports, two positions at one time. Come on. He's a football player. That's it.
Well, he is a pretty active podcaster. He did tour the world with CJ Stroud for no reason I could ever figure out, just doing entertaining videos.
Honestly, him as the president of BR Gridiron, if it was his idea to do that tour with CJ Stroud, that's thinking outside the box.
No, he's got a lot of promise as a media member. I'm not going to lie. He's definitely better than
he'll probably
a lot
be our boss one day.
Yeah. Your headlines.
Sorry, Micah, if you're my boss.
Don't apologize now, EJ. You're out.
Headlines are sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. The way Monday Night Football in LA started, we appeared headed for plenty of points.
Tua under center, tight end in motion. There's the snap. It's the end around. Coming to Washington 20. Got a block 15. Numbers 10. Near side line 5. Pylon dive. Touchdown. Miami. Oh, what a statement. On the game opening drive, they go 70 yards.
In what felt like 7 seconds, Kevin Harlan on Westwood One introducing us all to Malik Washington on that 18-yard scoring run. But that drive was the exception, not the rule last night. The Dolphins only got back in the end zone once. The Rams never did. So Miami went home with a fairly ugly but much-needed 23-15 win. That snaps their 3-game skid, gets them up to 10th in the AFC, one behind the Broncos in the loss column for the last wild card spot. The Rams, meanwhile, are 2 games away from a playoff spot in the NFC as their 3-game win streak ends. Matthew Stafford tries to explain 0 TDs.
It's just negative plays at the wrong times, right? Whether it's a turnover or a sack or a inefficient play on first down, whatever it was. We shot ourselves in the foot a little bit in that kind of strike zone area, right? 30-yard line-ish area. And, you know, that was probably the difference in the game.
Only the second time in Stafford's four seasons in L.A. that he does not produce a touchdown. As we move into Week 11, huge game Sunday. Bills and Chiefs, Buffalo already ruling out rookie receiver Keon Coleman with that wrist injury. He did not play Sunday's win in Indy. Jack Del Rio stepping down as a senior advisor to Wisconsin football after a DUI arrest last Friday morning. Del Rio allegedly hit a street sign, drove through a fence, then officers found him walking away from the scene. NBA last night, the Cavaliers still perfect. Now 12-0 after downing the Bulls 119-113. This is the best start by anybody since the 2015 Warriors, who eventually set the all-time mark, winning their first 24 games. College Hoops, number 2 Alabama fought off McNeese 72-64. The Tide, part of an unchanged top 3 in the new AP poll. Kansas still number 1, UConn still 3rd, Gonzaga and Auburn moving up into that top 5. And it wasn't Ivan, but the Avalanche will take it.
Nyquist brings it ahead. Leaves it for Shea. Doesn't take a shot. Sam Girard will force it back. Girard steals it. Breakaway in overtime. Sam Girard. Yeah! Sammy G gets the GWG. His first goal of the season against the team that drafted him. And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because this party is over.
Yeah, can't stay there, but you can go to Cowboy Willie's and live life dangerously.
It's called Shotgun Willie's,
whatever,
and they'll host your next happy hour. Just I don't know,
3 p.m. office party, whatever.
Just
you need,
just wear Kevlar.
Colorado, a 3-2 win over Nashville in overtime last night. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. We've got lots to do. The Cavaliers, that is very exciting. 12-0, that's something. But we've got more football. We've got more drama. We've laid out the Cowboys drama. Micah Parsons, Mike McCarthy. That's not the only thing catching our eye this morning. Oh, more Bears. The Bears. The Bears are turning back into the Bears. Who could have seen that coming? It's getting bleak in Chicago. We got all the details next.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, let's play a little game here called Is This a Good Job? Feels like a lot of coaches in the NFL taking heat. College too. But let's focus on the NFL for now. A lot of coaches taking heat. So, EJ, you'll give us a job. Perloff and I will tell you if this is a good job to take or not. Because obviously, if a team's looking for a new head coach, it means things are bleak.
Yes, exactly. I think all these teams are probably looking for somebody. So let's begin in Jacksonville. You got Trevor Lawrence, but you got a 2-win team there. Is this a good job?
I think it's a bad job because I think GM Trent Baalke has made too many mistakes in the draft. And this roster, while it's a bit top-heavy, it's just not good. I think that they're set up to fail. They really need to just sort of, they need a new GM, I think. And I don't want to fire the guy. But the Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson draft pick is going to haunt them for forever. Even though he showed signs of being good, I do not think this is a good job.
Okay, I do think this is a good job because the money's already been committed to Trevor Lawrence. So there's no will they, won't they. You know exactly what's going on. It's possible that they get another number one pick. Okay, that's cool. I'd like to have that in my arsenal. And I look at the rest of the division, and besides the Houston Texans, who have shown, while they're having a fine season, that maybe they're not the juggernaut that we had originally thought. I love this division because I feel like I am very close to making the playoffs every single year.
Yeah, I think, like, we look at the Jags, and we've both made this mistake. We're like, there's talent there. It just feels like the core of the team and the personnel is missing something.
Well, they've never had a history of winning, so I guess that. But if I'm Belichick and I'm going to have a say over personnel also, this is a good job for me.
I think you're underestimating what that roster is. I think everyone's like, Trevor Lawrence is just not playing up to his capability. I think from top to bottom, that roster is not what we think it is.
Who's next, EJ?
Let's go to Chicago. Matt Eberflus on the hot seat here. You got Caleb Williams there, the former number one pick. Is this a good job?
Yeah, the fire flus chants in full effect in Soldier Field. This is a good job. Now, again, like the Jags, you kind of have to overcome a little history of never having quarterbacks pan out. But I'm still in on Caleb Williams. I'm still in on his talent. And I actually think we were not all wrong as the media when we said this team wasn't bad. And the number one overall pick doesn't generally go to a team that has this many weapons. They just clearly have not invested enough in the offensive line. They all got hurt. And I actually think this is a good job.
Yeah, I'm nervous about this job. I was not surprised when the report came out from Adam Schefter at ESPN that Ben Johnson, the Lions offense coordinator, didn't want the Bears job. It's called 100 years of Bears history watching quarterbacks struggle. It just feels like this is a tough spot. So they went from Eberflus to defensive coach. They'll probably let go. They got to hire. You need to be an offensive guy for this team. Like, if you're, say, Vrabel, do not take this job. Like, you need an offensive guy to work with Caleb Williams. I find it, this is a high wire act. I'm not sure this offense can be fixed because they brought in all these players, this, you know, all these receivers for him. I think it's a harder assignment than people think because Caleb, yes, is generational, but we forget, like, 50% of first round draft quarterbacks fail. I think this is a more of a tenuous job than I think you do.
Yeah, actually, I should make a note. They felt like they had such good offensive line depth with the Bears that they let one of their offensive linemen go. And Ryan Poles was like, well, I hate to do it, but I feel like we got enough depth. How's that looking now after Caleb took 9 sacks against the Patriots?
Well, also, I think play calling is part of this, too.
Well, we're going to find out if Shane Waldron's going to continue as the play caller. Who's next in a game of Is This a Good Job?
Is this a good job? The New York Jets.
That's a big no. That's a huge no. The only good thing about being the New York Jets coach is you'll get rich. So if that's important to you, then take it. If you want your reputation to go completely down the tubes, well, that's something maybe you can put a price on. I don't know. Rodgers at the end. Rodgers having so much power. No one knows if the owner of the team is going to have some kind of cabinet position now that Trump's back in office, or he's going to be another ambassador somewhere, get shipped off to Sri Lanka. Who knows?
That part is maybe a positive.
Nope, because his brother ran the team last time, and that gave him Adam Gase. Tough. Tough to be worse than Woody Johnson, and yet somehow we found the younger brother.
I totally agree with you, but you have to admit the expectations are going to be pretty low. Well, maybe not because you have Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I would have. This is probably my last choice of the job. I totally agree.
It's a terrible job.
What about the Dallas Cowboys? You got president of Bleacher Report, Gridiron, Michael Parsons, and the injured Dak Prescott. This is a good job.
Well, I'm an idiot because I could talk myself into this job immediately. Like, you basically have some really good young players there. The problem is Dak Prescott's $60 million a year. I don't think he's ever going to be healthy again. But you do have, assuming they re-sign Michael Parsons, I keep talking about him. Every time I see him play, DeMarvion Overshawn seems like a superstar, like defensive player of the year type player. You have the two cornerbacks and Bland and Diggs. Like, you could come back and immediately fix that defense. They were a top five defense last year. Then Dan Quinn walks away, and now they're bottom 10. I think that you could immediately improve this team. So I think a coach might look good there.
All in.
Terrible job because of that man right there. Jerry Jones, who's only getting older, saying weirder things, wackier things that you've got to deal with. Apparently the sun is a big issue for afternoon home games, of which that's half your schedule.
Oh, I thought you meant Steven. You're talking about the actual no. firing ball up in the air.
Yeah, the star that warms our planet. It's always something. Cowboys aren't winning. But they're just happy that their franchise is worth $10 billion. Keep the tours coming through.
You say they aren't winning, but they went 12-5 the previous 3 years.
Well, you just asked me earlier, like, what are the Dolphins doing?
No,
you
know,
what are the Cowboys doing?
But I think you could immediately turn this into a winning roster. Like, winning, like, above 500. I really do. I'm not even like saying that. And
okay, above 500, but Super Bowl is really the goal here.
Yeah, I just think being above 500 in Dallas now would be a positive. I don't think you're going to get above 500 on some of these other teams.
I don't even know. Do we have time for our last one?
Las Vegas Raiders, quick.
To me, that's a hard no. Every reason you said about Dallas times 10.
You know, I want to see what the quarterback situation is before I say hard no on this. Like, is it Shador?
Well, I don't understand. Like, what are you going to see?
Well, it's got to be better Shador? Than a Minshew, oh, Aiden O'Connell. Who else got in?
Oh,
Desmond Ridder.
Desmond Ridder. That's a tough one. Can I get a real, not a real quarterback, can I get a, you know, franchise starting quarterback?
Man, that guy better be really good.
Let's drop a young guy right off in the middle of Las Vegas and see what happens. Sure would go great.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.